Amen. Who are the freest in the world? You know, because as we count down to Easter, today is actually Palm Sunday. And we know what happened Palm Sunday when, you know, Jesus was put on this donkey and they had palm branches and children were just praising him and exalting him as he rode through Jerusalem. And when we remember that, the significance of that, that Jesus is our king, even though not in the order of Caesar or not in the order of Pharaoh and all the other great kings, but Jesus was the king forever and forever. And he had to come in an unusual way. And when this was happening in Jerusalem, not too many people paid attention, but it did happen. And I remember it also affected the disciples because when Jesus, you know, was going to, you know, died and resurrected and was with them in Acts chapter 1, they still wanted a Palm Sunday where Jesus was going to come in as a king. And they were like, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They still had that mindset. And Jesus told them, well, it's not exactly how you think. But definitely, Jesus did not discount the fact that he was king or he is king. But he says, not in the order that you want it. But if you stay faithful and you remain in Jerusalem, you will see how it will come. And that was exactly what happened if you flip over to Acts chapter 2. And he says, what will be the evidence of that? He said, he will empower you with the Holy Spirit to bear witness to him in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to all the other distant part of the world. And he did it in a significant way. You know, the disciples then were looking for a free world. In their mind, that Jesus have come in to free us from the oppression of the Roman government. It was so oppressive, you know, that some people, some of them even wanted to become militant about it. There were those who wanted to take the government by force. Even among the disciples, they had their blood boiling for freedom. And I know seated here today, we feel the same way. We feel the same way. I know very soon there's going to be an election in the USA, man. I know that. And we'll be watching. Okay. And we'll be praying, amen. And it will come and it will pass. Whoever comes will only stay for 4 years. But the God I serve is a God of eternity. And the king I worship is already enthroned. I don't need to vote for him. Every year, you know, that's my king. That's my Lord. But you see, Jesus said he has left us here in this world. And when he was leaving, he says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. But the disciples were like, oh yeah, you are right. Okay, go, you know. I mean, they couldn't figure out what that means. But in their minds, they were looking for a free world. Just like, you know, some of us when we got baptized, oh yeah, in the kingdom, you know, we sing that song, the world before me, or is it the cross before me, the world behind me. Did you sing that song? Oh yeah, we all sang the song. I've been redeemed. We sing that song. We've been redeemed. Redeemed from what? You've been redeemed from the world. And we're all excited. I remember, you know, 30-something years, remembering, you know, God liberating me from my sin. And I was so excited to be a Christian. And I was freed from my anxiety, my worries, my fears. I felt, man, Jesus come. I want to be an exciting disciple. Everybody who walked by, I want them to know about this Jesus. Because I was living in a free world. Because I've been freed from myself. from my immorality, my sin, my bitterness. And that was how I felt. That was what I saw in the Bible. That was what I said yes to. I don't know about you, but that was what I said yes to. That I was going to be free from the world. But you know how it is. You get baptized, you know, you want to be free from the world. But then 2 months after, you are still here. 3 months you are here. 1 year you are here. 2 years, 3 years. Some of you have been here for like forever. You know? It is still a free world. It is still a world of freedom. And so after a while, we begin to think, well, are we? You know, am I really free? Have we been set free to be enslaved again? Who are the freest in the world? You know, freedom seems very excited for us at the beginning. At the beginning, we felt so good. Making Jesus the Lord of our lives and saying, listen, I am through with the world and all the shenanigans. I mean, I'm through with it. There is nothing this world holds for me. I said that. I hope you said that too. I mean, you know, maybe for some of us, you know, you can't even remember you said that. But that's okay. That was why we baptized you. Because you decided to repent and free yourself from the world. And I'm sorry you didn't understand. But I'm here to remind you that that was why. Because you said you were true with the world and all the strappings. You know, the freest in the world are the people who are freest from the world. You know, we all want to be free in this world. There's so much going on from my part of the world. There's war. It has not changed. There's bitterness. There's rancor. There's economic upheaval. I mean, we woke up one day and our dollar and our currency just went through the roof. Petrol. I mean, we voted in Nigeria for a renewed hope. That was the slogan of the government. And we all voted for a renewed hope. The very first day of the president's speech, we were all shocked that we were thrown to more pain and bitterness from day one. I know some of you have been following the news. I mean, even if you are my Nigerian people here, my African people follow. It's amazing. And so, I know you're going to go for an election. I wish you well. I don't know what their slogan would be, but we listen to those things and we really believe it. We really believe it. We really believe that the Democrats will give us freedom. We really believe that the Republicans will give us freedom. Hey, Sean invited me to speak here. Okay, so when I'm finished, I'm leaving on Tuesday and I'll be watching from my home in Africa. Okay, I'll be watching CNN. Watch and pray. I will pray. But and we go back and forth, and it's like that everywhere. We think one political party will bring us freedom. They have a better economic plan. They have a better social plan. They have, yeah. But just like he said, so it was hard for him to ask us in this room to rejoice. He said it over, rejoice, rejoice. And some of us were even finding it hard to even sing the song today. Are you really free? Are you really excited when you are in church? But I know, like you and like all of us, we have burdens in our heart about this world that we are in. And so how free are you from this world? Okay, did I lose something? Did I press something here? Oh, okay. So how free are you from the world? You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And that's what we all go through. Like I described, you know, we're so excited to be disciples. You know, we're fired up about Jesus. But after a while, the world creeps back into our lives. We become enslaved again to the, you know, the yoke of the world. It is there for all of us. I'm not asking you so that you can give me the right answers. I trust you know that for freedom, Christ has set us free. Amen. And that therefore now we have no condemnation for those who are in Christ, like Paul wrote to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation. Do you really feel like that? That there is nothing, absolutely nothing, not now, not ever, that will make you condemned in the sight of God? Does that fire you up as a Christian? That no matter what happens, no matter the changing times, no matter the decadence in the society, no matter the evil in the world, you are not condemned for those who are in Christ. You and I know that Christ was set free, or has set us free rather, from needing to achieve a righteousness of our own that comes from the law. Since we have God's grace given to us, the free gift of righteousness from God that depends on faith in Christ. And that was what Paul told the church in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. It's a mind-blowing, glorious truth. And we need to remind each other about this as Easter draws. What is the whole world, you know, going to celebrate? They're going to celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, which we as Christians, we remind each other every week. But the whole world will stop. And for one day, they are going to attempt what you and I, every week we are reminded as we take the communion with every morning. It's mind-blowing. It's a glorious truth. That's all the gospel hinges on. Everything we do here as a church, and we will ever do as a church, is in calling ourselves to submit to the glorious truth of Jesus granting us salvation. Amen. Amen. Point number one that I want to make. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Point number one, for freedom, you were called. The real question for you and me is, are we really living in the freedom Christ has given us? What Christ purchased and gave to us is not an abstract theological category that we will only realize after we die. But it's a free, governing, joy-producing, experiential, and radically free reality that begins now. He sets us all free indeed to live in the world as long as we are in the world. And that was what he told his disciples in John chapter 8, verse 36. You are not of the world, but you are in the world. And we need to understand what that means and how powerful that is. And that we so stab ourselves from the pain and the joy, and from the joy and the excitement of being in the presence of God, because we have walked back into the world. The secret to express this freedom all depends on where home really is for us. This world is not our home. Where is home for you? This world is not our home. But I tell you, it's a tough truth to live. We all agree, but it's tough. It's tough to not be affected by what is happening around us today. And it's like that everywhere. I mean, I've been on staff for 30 something years. And right now the conversation is changing. We're talking about retirement now. We're talking about retirement home. We're talking about health insurance. We're talking about how well, you know, after 30 something years, we're looking and say, was it really a good idea to come this far. There were no insurance policy, no retirement policy, and you are facing health challenges every day. And then the reality that one day you will die. You know, as a young person, we talk about dying with such excitement. Lord, when I die, I will die in the service of... Did you sing that song? Some of us don't sing that song with such passion. Lord, if I die, when I die in... You know, nobody wants to die anymore. We've been too long on the earth after our baptism to want to die. Not now. The first few weeks of baptism, I really wanted to die. I really felt like running into the car and smoked out, and I will be with God in heaven. But I'm here 30 something years after. You know, so here we are. It's like we've been enslaved again by God. God, you know, it was like the Israelites. You know, they thought the journey was going to be easy, correct? They were crying out, and God told Moses, I've heard their cry. They want to be free in the land of Goshen. So go and get them out. And we remember how glorious it was that night when there was wailing and weeping in the house of the Egyptians. And the Israelites despoiled the Egyptians. You only need to go to an Egyptian and say, I want your car. And he will give you the car and everything else. They just only need to open their mouth and ask. And they got everything. Wasn't it glorious being in that time? And shortly as the journey began, we all know this story. When it took longer and longer, about 40 years, it became tough. And they looked at Moses and they're like, bro, were you sure God spoke to you? How come he spoke to you and he didn't show you where? Because it seemed like we are all roaming about. What was going to take like, I mean, we all have GPS here, right? You see, every GPS says the ETA, right? Moses did not tell them the ETA. And so they lost patience. The day you got baptized, God never gave you an ETA. In fact, the disciples tried to ask Jesus, Jesus, when is the ETA? Jesus says, it's not my time to tell. That's a brilliant answer. But for some of us, we're thinking, where would Jesus come? So death for us is like, oh man, I don't want to die. I want to go to heaven. So the experience, you know, the secret to expressing this freedom all depends on where home really is for us. You know, here they were, they left home. It was like, oh, promised land, the promised land. Where is this promised land, dude? And after a while, they told him, you know what, Moses? We were better off where we were. Is that true? But Moses would have said, but God told me you guys were crying for freedom. Yes, Moses, we were crying. But we didn't like we don't like your plan. This wasn't the plan. We cried, but we want to get to the promised land quick. Can you find an easy way? And he kept on for 40 years. So, and that was what was captured as a Hebrew writer wrote. The key to living free is what made our faithful forebearers free was who they ultimately believed in and where they believed he was leading them. In Hebrews 11, verse 6. First, who have you believed in? Who did you say yes to? Who did you say was your Lord? You know, we all study the Bible, and God has used broken vessels like us to reach out to one another. We've told our stories, and people have been fascinated, and they're, wow, I want to have what you have, your joy, your excitement. They come into the church, they love the singing, they love the excitement. Man, I want to be here. There's so much joy. And that was what I saw. I saw brothers and sisters, you know, the church was planted by the London church. You know, these young men and women, they were so excited. You know, they were always playing loud music and boogieing us. I like this stuff. The sisters were hugging the men. Yeah, I like the hug. Just two sisters. Hey, hug me, man. I like. And I went to tell them, man, that church, they are so excited. I like who they are. Until they started studying the Bible with me. And then they opened the Bible. I said, I like the fellowship, but I don't like this Bible thing. Keep the Bible. They said, no. This is the real McCoy, the Bible. So I had to get down with the Bible. And it seemed like each time I read the Bible, it was stabbing me in the heart. Pruning me, changing me, cutting me. And I didn't like it. Until I was broken by the story of the cross. And it all came flooding. My insecurity, my bitterness, my fear. Yes, you can like all the singing, you can like all the whatever, but you need to be real. Who are you? Who do you want to believe in? Are you going to believe in just the niceties and the love bombing or whatever else we do? Or are you going to love Jesus? You know, there was no shortage of food in the brothers' flat. It was fun, food, fellowship. And I loved it. And we need to keep doing that, amen? But for you, you need to believe in Jesus. Not on the fun, food, and fellowship. You need to believe in Jesus because he will turn your life upside down. And where is he taking you? Where do you want to go? Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 14. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. It's not United States of America. It's not Canada. It's not the UK. It's not Lagos. I know you desire to come to Lagos. It's in your bucket list, correct? They desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. There's the key. They desired a better country, a heavenly one. They really desired because they really believed it existed. They believed in the better country so much so that they were content to die in faith. Not having received the earthly promises or things promised them, but have seen them from afar and acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. In verse 13, they were free to do the best and hardest good in the world. Because they were free from needing to belong to the world. Point number two. Live as people who are free. The depth of our understanding of our freedom in Christ is revealed by how we are. Like those saints, to live as strangers and exiles on earth. The proof of our freedom is in the pudding of our pursuits. How we live. This is why Paul tells us to live as people who are free. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. You can write that down. We are free to no longer live as captives to the world's values and claims and cravings and threats. Since here we have no lasting city. There's nothing on this side that will endure. everything you see on this side of eternity will be destroyed. Do you believe it, church? Everything. Everything will be destroyed. Even AI. He will be silenced before Jehovah. We are free to no longer live as captives in the world. We are free to walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh. Oh, Chris, yeah, you know, we are shackled. No, you are not shackled. You are free. So today I set you free to walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of your flesh. Then you will walk securely. In Galatians 5, verse 16 to 21, as Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. Since we are the Spirit of God, there is freedom. Walk as people who are free. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. We are free to lay out for ourselves treasures on earth. To not lay up treasures on earth. We are moth and rust and dust and all that. You know, thieves will break in and steal. But lay up for ourselves indestructible treasures in heaven. Right. Matthew 6, 19 to 20. It hasn't changed, brothers and sisters. We are free to be content in whatever situation we find ourselves. Since we know that our Heavenly Father will supply all our needs. Amen, church. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 19. And we are free to die. Since we claim to be Christians. For we have a better country than anything or anybody has seen or known. Do you believe that, church? You are free to love your neighbor and to do good to all. Amen. You can see, if you read in the Bible, there are many free things to be bothered about the not so free things of the world. Or the things of the world that comes cheap, or the world feels that, hey, this is freedom. You can go about and live the way you like, free yourself, be yourself. Where do you find that in the scriptures? You are not your own. The day you became a disciple, you gave up. You became a slave again to righteousness. I am sorry if that's not what you believe. I'm sorry if that's not what you said amen to. I'm really sorry. But that's what I see in my Bible. It has not changed. You are not free to indulge in your sinful nature. You are not free to be angry and bitter. You are not free to take the life of someone else. Sorry. You are not free to be obstinate, and proud, and arrogant, and puffed up. Sorry, you are not free. But you are free to do so many other things. You are free to smile at me. You are free to hug me. You are free to love me. Because I come in the name of the Lord. So let's have great fellowship. Let's think about it. And finally, choose a life of true freedom. In Acts chapter 2, if you're visiting with us, this was what the Bible says. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were caught to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent! And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. We know this scripture by heart. Does it excite you? It excites me to know that, yes, I'm struggling a little bit here, but this is it, man. This is the call we all responded to. We were tired of our sinful way of life. We were tired of our immorality. We were tired of our drug abuse. We were tired of just living strange. You know, I was like a cat of nine lives. I am different things to different people. I was deceitful. I was a liar. It was like I have to tell one lie to cover another lie, and it takes more faith to lie than it does telling the truth, because you won't concoct it again. If you tell the truth, it's the truth. But if you tell a lie, you live with the burden of crafting another story and another story and another story to cover. You understand what I'm saying? It takes more faith to lie than to tell the truth. I learned that. Tell the truth, I'm free. Truth frees you, amen. So the question I ask you, have you chosen to live a life of true freedom? You are among people here who have done so. Yeah, some of us are still struggling. We did so. It's okay. The question before us is this: how free do we want to be? You got to respond to the Spirit. Jesus wants us to find great freedom and real life, so that when we do celebrate Easter, that Hosanna, that Hallelujah will really be Hallelujah. And that we're not going to be worshiping with empty words. Jesus must be your Lord and your Messiah. Is he the Lord of your life? You got to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, pray for us as we pray for you. It is hard. It is hard to have accepted this and to stay in a world that is so, so broken. Oh man, it is tough. It is tough to think about how we're going to raise up our children in this world. You know, I'm praying every day. You know, the struggle never stops. You know, I was so fired up. Oh, my daughter should get married. She's married now. I'm worried now. The worry, oh, how is she going to live? Is she okay? And all that. And then, when is she going to have a child? I'm going to be a grandpa. Yeah. That excites you. It doesn't excite me sometimes. Like, wow. You know, what am I going to do? How am I going to play? What role? It's like, there is no ending to worrying. There is no ending to anxiety. Hey, if we have this person in power, everything will be okay. Go talk to Nigerians. We are living in dashed hope, but we were promised a renewed hope. The hope is in Christ Jesus. And I remember telling the church, I told them, I said, I have seen the Lord. He spoke to me. You know, during that period, every pastor was prophesying. So I said, I'm going to prophesy. And so I got up and said, the Lord spoke to me. Everybody just woke up. And they were waiting. I said, yes, he appeared to me. And he spoke to me. You know what he said? A Nigerian will rule Nigeria. And not only that, he will be from one of the political parties. And when he wins, he would declare his agenda. And people are like, well, that's what normally happens. I said, exactly. Every time it happens, nothing changes. You are the one changing. Disciples are fighting each other, quarreling about each other. Who is going to win? PDP, APC, WPO, whatever it is. I mean, our party, we had about 200 political parties. 200. And all of them have promised us that they will take us to the promised land. And here we are. I told my brothers, we are in the promised land that Jesus talked about in John. In this world, you are going to have... In this world, welcome to Nigeria. Welcome to the new America. Amen? You will have many... Guarantee, it's my prophecy. You will see it. I will come back, God willing, and you will still be here. You make Jesus the Lord of your life and free yourself from this world. Amen? Let us pray for the communion. Father, we thank you so much that for freedom you sent your son. And yet too often we don't listen because of the inclinations of our heart, because of our pride, our conceitedness, our fears, and everything else that we think we know. Father, show us how to live. For our friends that are visiting, I pray that they will make their decision to really study the Bible and hold on to you, because everything we see on this side of eternity is fluff. It holds no promise to righteousness and the life that you called us to. Help us to hold on to each other and to continue to declare the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. As we take this bread, may he remind us of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. To you be all the glory, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.